With the first pick in the 2007 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
And here we go.
What is up, NFP? This is Wes Bonning, the Director of College Scouting here at the National Football Post, and you are listening to another weekly installment of Draft Talk. We are on version 10.0. We have a special guest this week, Matt Miller, the NFL Draft lead writer at Bleacher Report. Matt, want to thank you for coming on, man. How are things?
Things are going great, Wes. It's good to finally be on the show. I've been a fan for a long time, so it's a good day for me.
Oh, absolutely, and there's nothing better than getting a guy on that knows how to talk draft, talk evaluation, talk prospects, and just get at it. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to start off with one of the hottest guys in the draft circles right now. And usually, Matt, when I have guys on and ask you to pick a couple guys, it's usually a draft crush or a man crush that one of you, these guys want to talk about. And would I be safe to assume that Robert Griffin III might be one of your draft crushes in this year's draft?
Yeah, absolutely. And it really started early in the year for me, back in the summer when I started looking at guys for the 2012 class. You know, Griffin just jumped off the film, playing in a big conference against good defenses. His 2010 season was good. You know, he's a guy with great mobility. You know, obviously everyone knows he's a run threat, but I really saw some improvement in his passing from his sophomore to junior year. And then this year we've seen him just really explode. His passing numbers are great. He's completing 75% of his passes. And he's getting it done throwing downfield, which was kind of a knock on him in previous seasons. But he's really pushing the ball deep. There's great velocity on the ball, which is something that I really look for in quarterbacks. And, you know, anyone who saw the Oklahoma game, that throw, you know, across the field 35 yards into the end zone, there was no movement on that ball. It was a tight spiral, accurately thrown. I think Griffin just really brings everything to the table that you want. Kind of like Cam Newton in last year's draft, except for Griffin has 3 years experience as a starter and, you know, probably is better capable to make football decisions early in his career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got to tip my hat. I didn't even see this guy until he played TCU this year. And you're thinking, well, I always knew this guy was a pretty good athlete, but he can really spin the football. And you talked about that, the velocity, and he's such a fluid, natural thrower of the football, and he can really spin it on all levels of the field. We talk about the athleticism. He can be a magician in the open field. But what really stands out about Robert Griffin III to me, and he's still a work in progress, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a bit, but it's almost the controlled chaos that he gets himself involved in and how comfortable he is when he's asked to improvise. At times when he gets flushed from the pocket, he keeps his eye level down the field so well, and he's not a guy that just, as soon as he feels pressure and is flushed, the eye level goes down and he limits himself only to running the football. Eye level's up, he's looking for the big play vertically down the field, and honestly, if there's a guy that throws a better bucket throw or that vertical touch pass than Robert Griffin right now, even when he misses, Matt, it's still a foot wide, you know, he never misses by much, and I think that's what really impresses me. The NFL is about big plays and moving the chains, and I think Robert Griffin does a great job moving the chains consistently. He can give you that threat because of his legs as well, and then when he does escape pressure or throwing from the pocket, extremely comfortable getting the football down the field.
Yeah, I mean, you really nailed it there. He does. He spins the ball well, and that coolness in the pocket is something that is really underrated about Griffin, at least, you know, my scouting report. Like you said, he can stand in there, and even though he is a run pass option and really dangerous outside the pocket, you never see him panic. You know, he doesn't get scattered in the pocket. It's just, and he's playing on a Baylor team that really only has one other pretty good draft prospect in Kendall Wright. Mm-hmm. So he's not lining up behind, you know, an all-pro offensive line like Matt Barkley or Andrew Luck might be, you know, with an elite left tackle. Griffin's getting a lot of it done on his own.
What's interesting about Griffin to me also, Matt, is this isn't some, you know, five-star hype kid. You know, obviously he's a, I believe, a 400 hurdles guy as well as an athlete. But he comes off as a really humble kid. And you see the development year in and year out, his improvement as a passer. I believe he was originally recruited to Houston, and then the coach flip-flopped and went to Baylor, and that's why I ended up going to Baylor. But this wasn't someone that the USCs, the Miamis, the top-tier programs of the world are looking at. When I get a quarterback, you know, I call it the five-car garage theory, that, you know, if you've been told you're great your whole career, you start believing it. If you have five cars in your garage, you know, life's good, everything's handed to you, life is really easy. This is a guy, you know, he didn't have that garage. You know, he was had to work and grind for everything. And I think you see that when you have to work and get to the next level, guys like the Vince Young and the Matt Leinart to the world, where things came so easy, and then they get to the NFL and they really have to work and grind at it. Griffin's been used to working and grinding day in and day out, and you can see that in the improvement of his game, and just that overall mental makeup, that mental toughness, and that willingness to work day in and day out to improve his craft is what I think. Granted, he's still raw, he still has a way to go, but at the same time, he's put in the time and developed so much that this is a guy coaches can grind on day in and day out.
Yeah, and that's a really good analogy there. You know, of guys who come into the NFL and they've kind of been spoiled. It's the silver spoon effect, mm-hmm. and they don't know how to put in the hard work. But, you know, people ask all the time, and I'm sure you get asked, how does a Tom Brady fall to the cracks? Well, Brady wasn't a great prospect at Michigan. He just worked his tail off once he got to the NFL because, you know, he wanted to prove people wrong. And I see a lot of that with Griffin. Like you said, he's very humble. He's also really smart, which is something that, you know, for whatever reason gets typecast as he's just an athlete. But this is a kid who's going to graduate a year early at Baylor, which is one of the best universities in the Big 12. And he's already pre-applied to law school. And this is a really smart kid, and you see that on the field. Like you said, he doesn't panic. You know, he can hang in the pocket, keeps his eyes up downfield, and makes really good decisions with the ball. It's just, you know, kind of a culmination of everything that he brings to the table, and I can't be more impressed with him. He's moved up to number two on my board as of this week. He was number four last week. The Oklahoma game really just solidified things for me.
Mm-hmm. All right, Matt, I'm going to throw it to you. This might be a dagger right to your chest. You have number two. What are some things that concern you, though, about Griffin as a prospect? Obviously, no one's perfect. What are some things that jump out to you that, you know, I wish he would improve in this area, or he doesn't do this as well as some other guys?
Sure. I think the biggest thing for me is that he gets frustrated at times, and I'm not sure if it's, you know, the lack of the talent around him, because when the pocket starts to break down, I've seen Griffin get too frustrated and he'll force throws. I've seen his interception numbers go up the last 4 weeks. A lot of that is playing the heart of that Big 12 schedule, playing better defenses, and he gets frustrated and forces things. I think he did improve on that this week quite a bit against Oklahoma, and it showed with his coolness in the pocket. There's also some questions about his height. He's listed at 6'2". One thing I'll note about that, and you would probably agree, is that as a mobile quarterback, height is not as important. You know, he's a guy who's going to move the pocket a lot, make throws outside the tackle box. So you don't necessarily need to be 6'3", 6'4". I think if he comes in at 6'2", there's no concerns there on my part. But it is something that, until he's measured at the combine, should he come out this year, that's something that I'm keeping my eye on.
Mm-hmm. And you can counter on this, Matt. The things I saw when watching Griffin is, one, he doesn't take a ton of snaps from under center. He does line up at times from under center, but he doesn't look overly comfortable yet, especially in the three-step game. He doesn't get a ton of depth. I think he wants to settle his feet quickly and collect himself. Also, not overly comfortable working off play action. And when he's in the pocket, he doesn't consistently stay in an ideal throwing position. I think his base, he gets a bit upright at times, and he's so quick-footed and such a gifted athlete that he can take that quick step set and get rid of the football. But I'd like to see him at times stay a bit more compact, have a bit more base under him, so if he needs to throw instantly, which he's going to have to do consistently in the NFL, he can get the ball off quickly. And the release point at times, and I don't know if this is a negative or a positive, but his release point at times, especially when flush to the right, it almost looks like at times he wants to guide the ball and that elbow or drop a bit. And it's almost like a sidearm delivery at times. Now, from the pocket, he's very consistent. And I don't know if that's just, I want quarterbacks, I remember Rich Gannon being able to make throws in awkward situations, which he can do. And he's accurate with the football, even when he does drop his angle down. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but, and I haven't talked to anyone else about that, but that's something I've noticed, and I'm trying to figure out if that's a plus about his game or a negative right now, because he's still completing the football.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing. As long as he's throwing accurately from those different relief points, you know, it's something to note on the report, but maybe not mark it down as much as you would if, you know, it's a guy who's got just wild mechanics and can't complete anything. You mentioned Rich Gannon, who was great at it.
Yeah.
Brett Favre got a lot of credit for being able to adjust his release point, whether he was in the pocket or on the run. And, you know, it worked out pretty well for those guys because they were so accurate. And, you know, to date, I think Griffin is right there in terms of accuracy. He's definitely hitting on all points. One thing I forgot to mention, which is pretty important, as a runner, he's going to get dinged up. Mm-hmm. And he's pretty lean. You know, about 220 pounds, but it's stretched pretty thin over his frame. I wouldn't mind seeing him bulk up a little bit just because he's going to get hit. He's going to get hit in the pocket. You know, most likely going to be drafted by a team that's not great early on in his career. So, you know, if a guy could put on 10 pounds of muscle, that would definitely help to get him up around that 230 level.
Mm-hmm. And right now you have him as the number two quarterback on your board, correct?
Actually, number two overall player, but that is number two overall quarterback as well, behind Andrew Luck.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. Moving on now. Morris Claiborne, a corner you wanted to bring up and talk about from LSU. If there's one words I use to describe Claiborne, it's those long pterodactyl-like arms that this guy uses. They say he's 6 foot, but the way he presses off the line, you know, he looks like he's a 6 foot two corner, but he plays like a much smaller player. What are your initial reactions so far this year when you've watched Morris Claiborne from LSU?
Yeah, I've just been incredibly impressed. I had Claiborne, I think, top 20 early on in the season, but the more you watch LSU, he just stands out on film. Like you said, as a really pure cover guy, you know, playing opposite Patrick Peterson last year, who is a much better athlete, but Claiborne's just locked down in coverage. It's very smooth. You know, he has the size you mentioned. He's six feet tall, but has, you know, just one of those long, lanky guys who can really reach in there and separate from the ball. He's played receiver, so it kind of lets you know how good of an athlete he is, that he's been able to make that position change. A few areas of concern, I guess, would be he's not overly strong. We have seen him improve a little bit in that area, but when you look at him, whether in film or in person, he's a skinnier player. He's listed at 185. I'd like to see him add a little bit of weight, but that can always happen once you get into an NFL weight room and a good program there. And, you know, his coverage technique can be a little sloppy. He's one of those guys who is just almost more athletic than most of the people he's covering. So, you know, over the course of 9 games, you'll see his technique break down a little bit at times. But, again, he's athletic enough and long enough to, you know, cover up that, you know, a lot like Charles Woodson, whose technique can be sloppy at times, but he's instinctive enough and has the long arms to still get in there and make plays on the ball.
Yeah, and the one thing with Morris Claiborne, you talked about his technique. Is it perfect at this stage? No. But when I watched him, especially his footwork last year as a sophomore, I agree 100%. He was much more athlete than corner playing the position. And against top-tier SEC competition, he was still able to get by with it consistently. But this year, I think he's doing a much better job playing lower and more balanced. And why watch a cornerback? The key is, in my opinion, is the balance of this guy. You can be a 4-3 player, but if you're consistently getting overextended and upright in and out of your breaks, you play like a 4-5 guy. But if you're a 4-5 guy, or excuse me, a 4-6 guy, and you play low, you can get in and out of your breaks. Obviously, you're going to be exposed in space, but in tighter areas, you can play fast. And I think Morris Claiborne has done a much better job this year staying lower into his drop, keeping his footwork compact and underneath of him, so he's able to cleanly get in and out of his breaks. He's sinking his hips much better, showing a more explosive element to his game. That Bama game where he had that pick coming off the hash, you know, that was an area where he looked a little less instinctive. I think it was a tight end that released against him. But still, you watched him sink his hips and then click and close on the football. And I didn't realize he was a wide receiver. So you look at the ball skills as well. But I think this is a great-looking piece of clay that's going to continue. You can continue to mold, and it's going to continue to get better. But that physical skill set for a guy that's that size, that plays low and can sink his hips and explode, plus he turns and runs and tracks the football extremely well, I think that's why he's, in my opinion, the top-tier corner in this year's draft.
Yeah, I agree. And he's right now the only corner I have in the top 15, but he's just such a complete player. Like you said, he's really transitioned well from being an athlete to being a cover man. The one thing I like is the fact that LSU runs a ton of man coverage, so he's ready to step in as a zero coverage guy. They use him on corner blitzes. I mean, he's playing in a pro-style defense right now, which a lot of these college corners aren't. You know, they play in straight zone, and, you know, they're just asked to be athletes out on the edge. But Claiborne and really all the LSU corners are used to locking up in man coverage and running downfield with receivers. And, I think that's where Claiborne's length is really going to be a big positive for him, because he's quick enough to keep up with receivers, but long enough to go up and high point the ball and make plays on it. And, again, as a former receiver, he has pretty good ball skills.
Yeah, and I love the attitude, not only Claiborne, but those LSU guys. When you talked about them playing zero coverage behind, and they got these corners about a foot off the line of scrimmage ready to press you one-on-one, and they're saying, go ahead, we dare you. And Claiborne's a guy, even if he gives up a step or even if he gets beat, it's that mentality to go to the next play. And they just have, I won't say arrogance, but just that confidence about them that, you know what, we're going to come up near the line, we're going to press you one-on-one, and I feel content that, you know, I'm going to beat you half the time. And I think you have to have that if you're a cornerback.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point, because last year it seemed like Claiborne was playing off the line a little bit more. I don't know if that was the scheme with just him being the number two corner, but he's definitely stepped up his game this year, because they are, man. They're putting him a foot off the line, and he's jamming receivers, and, you know, it's just, the Alabama film was great as far as, you know, Claiborne really stepping up on the line and controlling the line of scrimmage and showing the ability to be a bump and run corner, which those press bail guys, I just love a corner who can get in there and mix it up.
Last guy we're going to talk about, one of your boys, Arizona State inside linebacker Vontaze Burfict. I'll just let you jump right into it. What are your initial impressions on him? I believe you have him seventh on your board at this time, so there's obviously something you like about him.
Yeah, I know I have Burfict a lot higher than other scouting services do, and I really have all year. I think he's just a great overall athlete. I mean, obviously, he passes the eye test, you know, a big guy, 6'3", 250. He's running low 4.6. A really good read and react middle linebacker who's played in space a lot. You know, Arizona State really just lets him line up in the middle of the field and then flow to the ball. I think the thing I like best is, obviously, he's an aggressive tackler. He comes with a reputation as a hitter. Can play a little reckless at times. He's walking that line between when the whistle blows and a little. but, you know, I actually like that, especially from a middle linebacker. I've said to a couple guys this year, I'd rather have a middle linebacker that plays over the line than below it. You know, that's, and maybe that's just my preference, but a guy who, we've seen the NFL go to so many, you know, A-gap blitzes, and Burfict's great at that. He does it early and often at Arizona State. You know, they ask him to line up in the middle. He's just like a missile going to the ball, whether it's blitzing the quarterback or dropping into coverage or flowing to the sideline. I do think you have to reel him in a little bit. If you get him in a strong locker room or get him to buy into your system, you need him to tone it down a little bit. But I like it again. Guys like Ndamukong Suh or even Nick Fairley, who in college had a reputation of playing hard, maybe a little dirty, but it's intimidation. And I was an offensive coordinator for years, and having to deal with a guy like Burfict at linebacker, it'd just be a nightmare, because you know he's going to scare some players on your offense because he is such a hard hitter, so athletic, and he's just a versatile player. You never know what he's going to do if it's dropping to coverage or blitz.
Yeah, when I was watching Burfict, and I actually took a good look at him this afternoon before we came on, there's so many explosive elements to his game. He's explosive as a tackler into contact, in and out of his breaks, his first step when he's asked to range. There's a definite change of speed and that explosive closing burst where he just finishes. And that's why I think this guy has the ability to be a very good starting caliber inside linebacker in the NFL. You talked about the head case, the nastiness to his game. And I always talked about defensive linemen, where you don't want these guys playing with a full deck of cards, because if they were smart, intelligent, you know, high character guys, they'd be playing offensive line. You got to be a little nuts to play D-line. You know, I'm going back and forth at linebacker, because at the same time as the captain of the defense, you know, you always have to be in the game, in the moment. I think at times with Burfict, when I watched him, there were times when things weren't going his way or weren't going that defense's way, where you know, I don't know if he lost motivation or wasn't quite as keyed into the game. I thought there were times where he was content to be blocked inside, and he never see that early in the game, but as the game goes on and if things get out of reach, I almost think that he plays head games with himself. I question some of the times him keying off blocks inside. He'll take some bad angles. But overall, you know, when this guy sees the football and he has a path, there's no doubt that he can go after it. And when trying to figure out, you know, why does this guy take a bad angle at time, or why doesn't he key off the block? I don't know if it's more where, you know, he's not into the game emotionally. I don't know if he doesn't understand or hasn't put in the time, or he's so talented in college football where he can get away with it. And that's what makes being a talent evaluator so difficult, where you're trying to find these reasons for the flaws that he has. Because honestly, when you look at him as an athlete and the overall physical and explosive elements he brings to the game, there's no doubt in my mind this guy has the talent to be a top-tier NFL linebacker. Just putting all those pieces together mentally, that are the biggest question for me at this stage.
Yeah, I agree. And it's an odd comparison, but I actually compared him to Cam Newton a little bit, not because of their personalities, but because their success in the NFL is so directly tied to the system that they're drafted into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Newton would have struggled in a West Coast offense, but he's doing really well in a deep ball offense. I think Burfict is the same way. If he can get to a system, into a team that has a strong locker room, a veteran locker room, and a good defensive coach who can sit him down and say, listen, we're going to turn you into a top five middle linebacker, but this is what we need from you. I think in that situation, he could really excel. And I guess at this point, I'm too afraid that that's going to happen to move him down the board a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just such a hard hitter, a great athlete, like you mentioned, getting all over the field. Just you have to find some way to reel him in. And I will say the Arizona State defense as a whole, they've just self-destructed.
Yeah.
And I guess you could say the entire program has. So some of that I think you can point to coaching and the lack of leadership there. And you know, some of that does go to Burfict because he's the most talented player on defense. He should step up and be a leader. And for whatever reason, like you said, he really hasn't taken that next step. But as a scouting for an independent service where you can't sit down with the kid for a few hours and talk to him and get in his head, it's tough to do.
Yeah, and this is interesting. I want to throw this to you. When I graded him out, and if I would go, and again, I watched him for about an hour and a half today, and I've seen him on TV the past couple weeks, but, you know, what he screams to me in our grading scale, 6.7, where he's just that kind of boom or bust guy, he reminds me, like, of Carlos Dunlap when he came out of Florida. Like, this is a guy with all the talent in the world. If he puts it together, like Carlos Dunlap did that first year, he had 9 sacks as a rookie. He's going to be one of the better strong side power players in the league, in my opinion, as long as he keeps working at it. And that's the kind of grade that I think I'd end up giving Burfict. You said you have him 7th overall, and I don't know if I could take this guy, as of what I've seen right now, as a top 20 guy, considering the talent that could potentially come out. You know, I think I'd feel more comfortable taking him late first, second round. And we've seen some talented guys fall into the second round. Where would you feel comfortable taking him, Matt? And at the same time, ultimately on draft day, where do you think this guy ends up going?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because my grading skill, it's similar to yours, and it's been adopted a little bit and changed around, but I rank guys pretty much on where they're going to be 3 years from now, which is, in my opinion, what you're drafting him for. I do think he's probably, like you said, a mid to late first rounder, depending on how his interviews go.
Yeah.
If he comes in and is articulate and, you know, can explain, you know, this is why as a junior or as a sophomore, I was kind of playing out of my head. Things got better my junior year, whatever reasons. That's going to be a big indicator. You know, he's healthy, a great athlete. I can't see him going past the second round, like you said, and I would think even early second round where, you know, so many teams need a middle linebacker right now. The Cleveland Browns just scream, the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, just scream and need a middle linebacker. I couldn't see those guys passing on him if they get a second chance at him.
Yeah, and considering, I mean, this guy is a much better athlete and, in my opinion, a better football player than Akeem Ayers was, who went in the second round, who had some questions about him character and work ethic-wise. And not, you know, obviously Burfict has some character concerns as well. So I would say, you know, early second round is the latest we'd see this guy go. But at the same time, a bit of a boom or bust player. Because I think, but he's a guy, Matt, that I think even if it doesn't work out ideally for him, he's still a guy that's talented enough to be a serviceable starter in the league. But if it does work to him, his ceiling, I think, is tremendously high if he figures it all out.
Yeah, and that's really well said. If he figures it all out, I mean, we're talking about a top five, top three middle linebacker. And if he never progresses, he's still a good athlete and could easily be a Derek Johnson type player who is really solid on the inside, and his athleticism in some years makes him, a top player. Other years, you can kind of forget he's there.
Mm-hmm. All right, Matt. Well, I want to thank you for coming on today. We're going a little long, but before you get off the air, why don't you tell all the listeners all of the many places they can find you on the net right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy to find now. Things have really picked up this year. Obviously, follow me on Twitter. I'm pretty active there. My handle's at NFL Draft Scout. Do a lot of, in-game thoughts and analysis, and then just random musings throughout the week. Like you mentioned, I'm the lead NFL draft writer at Bleacher Report, bleacherreport.com. We're really pushing our draft coverage this year, which is a big part of the reason they brought me in back in August to kind of head up the draft team. And then also NewEraScouting.com, which is the site I've owned and operated for about 5 years. We just really, in-depth scouting reports, mock drafts, the whole run of things that you might want to find surrounding an NFL draft.
Sounds good, Matt. And again, you can find all the links for what he talked about, New Era Scouting, his blog on Bleacher Report, and his handle on Twitter, all at the bottom of the page, and I recommend checking Matt out. I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving for this week, and thanks again for listening to Draft Talk version 10.0. We'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock once again, and have a happy holiday, everyone.
What I really want to know.